Stillman and Company is delivered by TriStar Moving, ESPN 102.5, the game, streaming live, Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and now Facebook Live. Thanks to the law offices of Amanda Gentry. Reaction Monday, powered by Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, and Focus, naturally caffeinated sparkling water with a spark. Drink Focus, PHOCUS.com, live from the Hillside Medical Game Studios. So, breaking news, the Las Vegas Raiders have fired their general manager, Mike Mayock, which I have no problem with. Like, I think there are going to be some people, like, I don't know what will happen with the coach, Bisaccia, but I think there are a lot of people that are like, after Mayock had gotten them to the playoffs and the fallout from the Gruden and the, dude, Mayock was a TV guy. He had no business being a general manager in the National Football League. His credentials just weren't good enough. I remember when they made him the general manager, and I remember Floyd's chuckling when that happened. Like, Mayock's a TV guy. Just like all the other TV guys. And guess what? When Lewis Riddick gets a job, because there's a TV, they actively campaign for Lewis Riddick to be a general manager, he'll be a TV guy too. You also don't get to keep your job when you draft Cleveland Farrell fourth overall. Like, at some point, like, these things have to add up a little bit. Mayock's out with the Raiders. So resetting our thoughts on the Bengals. I have no problem with this matchup for the Titans. I also don't think it's going to be a walk down easy street on Saturday when the Titans get set to take on Cincinnati. I think Cincinnati's got a great quarterback. And I think that if you've got a great quarterback, there's a lot of things that can go right by having a really good quarterback. I also think when you've got a good quarterback who is smart, that adds points to it. Just Dallas doesn't have a great quarterback, but their quarterback yesterday proved he's not very smart. And I think Dallas is going to struggle for a while until they get one of those figured out. But I, again, like the matchup. Much rather play them than play the Bills. Much rather play them than the Chiefs. And honestly, this is the final eight of the NFL. Of the final eight who's out there, including this game today, Cincinnati is probably the sixth or seventh best team. And I'd like to play the sixth, seventh, or eighth. I'm going to say San Francisco's the eighth best team, although San Francisco did beat Cincinnati in Cincinnati. I'm going to say San Francisco's the eighth best team, but I like to play the sixth or seventh best team instead of playing the Bills or the Chiefs. But that doesn't mean that I am as confident in a Titan victory on Saturday as former Titans receiver Chris Sanders. On our playoff preview show Friday night, I asked the question, who would be the best team for the Titans to get matched up with? Here's what our colleague Chris Sanders said.
Who would be the easiest?
Oh, the easiest. Oh, the Cincinnati Bengals. I would say the reason why I would say the Cincinnati Bengals is because we have a nice, nasty front.
Yeah.
I think their offensive line is struggling. I think if they came into Nissan Stadium, I don't think it would be a close game. I understand they have Ja'Marr Chase and they have Boyd and they have some big-time wide receivers. But their offensive line struggles. And with our defense, with Simmons and Landry and them dogs that sick the quarterback, I think we'll put a goose egg on them.
I mean, just no consideration.
A goose egg.
I mean, I don't want to get too hamstrung on that because Joe did this morning. Like, I mean, he said a shutout, so if they score 1 point, then Chris is wrong. You know, like, I don't look at it like that. Chris Sanders says he thinks they're going to smoke them. Like, he thinks the Titans are going to smoke the Bengals. The line's 3.5, right?
I believe so.
He thinks the Titans are going to smoke them. He thinks the defensive line is going to get after Joe Burrow and hit him into the ground, and they are going to just railroad the Bengals. That's what he said. You heard what he said. Do we agree?
I don't think I can. I don't think I can agree. Do I think that the Titans are capable of blowing out the Bengals? Yeah, probably. The Cincinnati? I think that, yes, I think they are capable, but do I think they are going to? I don't think so, because I understand Chris's argument, and that's what I think that the argument that a lot of people are making in favor of the Titans is this defensive line versus this offensive line, and it very much so is a mismatch. I would say the defensive line is one of the Titans' greatest strengths. The offensive line is, without a doubt, the Bengals' biggest weakness.
Like, didn't Chris sound a little too cocky?
That sounded incredibly cocky. And I understand that. I understand that's a mismatch, but that's just one element of the game. Because can you consider, what if the Titans don't get to the quarterback? You think those defensive backs can keep up with Jamar Chase and T. Higgins and Taylor Boyd?
If the Titans don't get to the quarterback in any game that they're about
you
to
lose.
Play, they will lose.
You lose.
That's as simple.
So to look at one element of it, one mismatch of it, I don't think is fair, and I think is a little overdramatic to say that the Titans are going to smoke them. I wouldn't put my money on it.
So I'm a little torn here. I do think the Titans should win on Sunday.
I
do think that they should win, not in comfortable fashion, like not where, you know, from the second snap of the game, you know it's over, but like from where when it's in the middle of the third and fourth quarter, like it should be like what San Francisco was feeling for the entire game until the very end yesterday. Like where they comfortably could have, you know, it's 23-7. Okay, now it's 23-15 or 16 mm-hmm. or whatever it was. Okay, like, but, you know, at the end of the day, like, they got it. Final score, Titans 24, Bengals 13, like, you know, and whatever.
Maybe a second half comeback.
Like, I do think that's what it should be. That's what it should be on Saturday.
But are things ever that easy with the Titans?
No. I have two thoughts about Chris's comments. Three. The first thought is, I hope he's right. Like, the one thing about the defensive line in the NFL is that if you've got a great defensive line, you can beat anybody. Tom Brady and the 2007 Patriots were the best team that I have ever seen in my entire life. And I'm not sure there is anybody who covers the NFL who has seen a more dominant team than the 2007 Patriots, which Mike Vrabel was a part of. And why did they lose in the Super Bowl to the Giants? Because the Giants had Michael Strahan and O.C. Umenyora and Justin Tuck and Matias Kiawanuka, and they hit Brady about 45 times. And I think they held Brady to like 17 points. And that offense was the best offense I've ever seen in my life. That's the best team I've ever seen in my life. And the defensive line carried the Giants. They carried them past Brett Favre and the Packers and Lambeau because defense travels. Mm-hmm. So that's best defense I've ever seen. Titans defensive line is pretty good. Now, they're not as good as Strahan and Tuck and Umenyora and those guys, but it's pretty good. And when they're humming, as the Kansas City game proved, they could stop any offense. First series of that game, Bud Dupree came off a strip sack, sacked Patrick Mahomes, and I'm like, if Bud Dupree's going to do this, like, it's a total game changer for the Titans. And it's been a game changer. We saw him spook Stafford in the Rams game, and Stafford's like, yeah, I mean, like, he looked like he didn't want to be there. It was that bad. So I think a good defensive line can beat anybody mm-hmm. in any game. So I do think that's true. The Bengals have also allowed a league-high 51, you know, 51 sacks. The second thing, though, that bothers me about this, or my second thought on it is, Chris has had some really wild takes over the years.
Yeah, he has.
Like, and I love him, and everybody loves him, and it's the one thing I feel like, personally, that everybody loves Chris because he's the nicest guy in the world, he played for the Titans, and he's so enthusiastic about everything.
There's nothing to not love.
There is nothing to not love about Chris Sanders. He is like a brother to me. But he has had some off-the-wall ridiculous takes. So when I hear Chris Sanders say, like, oh, blow him out, I'm kind of like, I do remember that this is the guy who thinks the coin toss is the most important part of the game.
That is true.
The third thing that I find crazy about this, like, I can probably say whatever I want. It's probably not going to affect the game at all. Like, whatever I say about the Bengals or... I think if the Bengals got a hold of that audio right there and they took it in the locker room and they're like, hey, this guy played on the Titans in the 90s. He was part of the team that went to the Super Bowl that lost by a yard. You know, he was an all-rookie team receiver. And this is what they're saying in Nashville about you. I do think that could fire the Bengals up.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I think that
I know
Chris
for a
Sanders
fact
clip,
that fires Joe Burrow up.
Oh, my God. I guarantee you. I guarantee you that if Vrabel heard that, he would cringe.
Oh.
And remember that,
like that.
And remember, Chris is his college teammate.
Uh-huh.
But, like, he would cringe if he heard what Chris Sanders said. Because if, and I'm not hiding it, you know, it's not like we're scrubbing the pocket. Oh, we don't want Cincinnati to know, you know, oh, my goodness. I'm not doing that. But, I mean, Elijah, can we get that again, please? I mean, just listen to the just pure, and I'm not saying it's arrogant, because Chris isn't an arrogant dude.
No.
But just pure, what's the right word?
Fanboyism?
I wouldn't say that. The lack of respect that Chris has for Cincinnati on Saturday.
Who would be the easiest?
Oh, the easiest. Oh, the Cincinnati Bengals. I would say the reason why I would say the Cincinnati Bengals is because we have a nice, nasty front.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I think their offensive line is struggling. I think if they came into Nissan Stadium, I don't think it'll be a close game. I understand they have Ja'Marr Chase and they have Boyd and they have some big-time wide receivers, but their offensive line struggles. And with our defense with Simmons and Landry and them dogs that sick the quarterback, I think we'll put a goose egg on them.
I mean, that really is like the Bengals, no doubt.
Their receivers, whatever.
I mean, I know they got some good players, but like.
But we got better players.
I mean, I'll blow them out. I'll just blow them out. I think they'll goose egg them. Like, if Zach Taylor got his hands on that, if he was smart, and I don't know if he's smart or not because he kind of feels like a cheese ball, but if Zach Taylor got his hands on that and walked into the team meeting tomorrow, because I'm going to guess they're going to practice tomorrow. Because they played on Saturday, and so that's like Sunday. So then Sunday becomes Monday, Tuesday becomes Wednesday, and Wednesday is the first day you practice. So it wouldn't surprise me if both teams have a real practice tomorrow. If he went into the team meeting tomorrow and played that clip, like first he'd have to explain who Chris Sanders was. But because Chris played in the league and played on a Super Bowl team and played like Chris.
He's not just a talking head.
He's not me. Like. And he said, hey, this is what Chris Sanders said and played the clip. I guarantee of those 53 people that are in there, there'd be a bunch of them who are pretty pissed off about that. Like, I mean, no respect for us. We're sitting over here. We're seventh. We just beat the Chiefs. We got the – and can you imagine being on the offensive line? You give up 51 sacks this year. Here's some guy in Nashville. It's like, that offensive line, those receivers, goose egg. I'm serious. Now, it's not the same as like a Titan player saying it. But
I mean, it's the closest thing.
I do think that would like have an effect on the game.
It would have an effect on Joe Burrow.
I was thinking about this. Like, I wonder, we all remember how non-committal Floyd could be sometimes about certain things. And one time when they were hiring a coach, when they hired Vrabel, we were talking about Josh McDaniels. Would he be a good coach? And Floyd was like, I don't know. He was a good coordinator when I was in New England, but I don't know if he'd be a good coach. And I'm like, Floyd, like you worked with the man for 4 years. You can't, like, you know if he'd be a good coach or not. And so he kind of jumped me pretty hard, and he was like, you can say whatever you want, and nobody cares. But if I say who they should hire, then it is on the front page of ESPN.com, and everybody in that facility will know what I think, and I don't feel like I should put any pressure on him. I'm like, you know what? That makes sense.
Fair.
Like, I get it. I understand you almost saying, like, hey, I need to abstain here. I wonder if at times he abstained a little bit on some of the things he said because he didn't want it to affect the game from, like, a motivational standpoint or something of that magnitude.
We talk about Mike Vrabel, you know, using noise as fuel. We talk about Bill Belichick doing that. Do we think more coaches in the league do that? Or is that a Belichick tree kind of thing?
No. I mean, I think everybody has people that are dedicated to trying to find these kind of things. And some people slip up, and I bet there's slip-ups throughout the course of the year that aren't taken personal. Mm-hmm. And then there are some that are, you know, Freddie Mitchell, the wide receiver from the Eagles, went on SportsCenter before they played the Patriots in the Super Bowl with Dan Patrick. And Dan Patrick asked Freddie Mitchell who was the best corner on the Patriots. And he was like, do I have to say their names?
Yeah,
I
know their numbers.
And he was like, what? He was like, you can't name one corner on the Patriots. Like, I know their numbers. And, like, the Patriots got really upset about that. So, I don't know. But, again, whatever the Bengals decide to do, I don't care. Do you think Chris Sanders is right?
I don't think so.
I'm torn.
Why?
Because I think the Titans should win.
The Titans should win, but does that necessarily mean they're going to smoke them? They're going to goose egg them? The Titans should win.
I can't.
But I think we know the Titans well enough to know that a blowout seems unlikely.
2 years ago, the number one seeds played on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
San Francisco, fine team, good defense, Jimmy Garoppolo at quarterback. San Francisco just boat raced Minnesota. Was not a very close game.
Mm-hmm.
Titans went on the road and beat the Ravens. I could kind of see either thing happening. Like, I feel in my heart like this. I feel in my heart like Saturday should be a comfortable game, not a blowout, not running them out of the building, but it should be not like the Dolphins game, but maybe more so like, I'm trying to think of who the Titans beat this year, where it was like a rather comfortable, like not the end of the world kind. I don't know. A lot of these games came right down to the wire. Kind of like the Rams game.
Mm-hmm. Where, you know, it was comfortable.
Titans defensive line took over the game. Mm-hmm. Titans spooked them. Nice lead the whole time.
But never, it's still really a good opponent, so you're not going to kick your legs up.
Right. Like, you're sitting there in the fourth quarter and you're like, you're up 11 and you're like, if they could just kick a field goal here, it'd be really,
a little
really
bit
nice
of some comfort points.
Like, I feel like that's what they should do. So I'm kind of with Chris. And they allowed a league high 51 sacks and they haven't beaten anybody good on the road. I don't know. Let's take calls on it. Let's get calls on it. 615-737-1025. Chris Sanders just blows up the Bengals. Just blows them up. Says the Titans, says the easiest opponent going into wild card weekend would be the Bengals. And just says, you know, they're going to blow them out. Do you agree with Chris? 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll get your thoughts in on that. Plus, on a scale of 1 to 10, with, like, 2 being how worried you would be of the Steelers, how worried are we of the Bengals? We'll discuss that next as well. Again, Cincinnati coming in here on a Reaction Monday, which is powered by Spring Hill Heating and Cooling and Focus, naturally caffeinated sparkling water with a spark. Drinkfocus.com. Let me tell all the fine folks out there, I got to tell them something, and I am trying to find it. Which and where I am trying to tell them. Go to thegamenashville.com/deals to check out Nashville's best deals. Right now, buy $100 and get $50 to the Woodhouse Spa Nashville. Save $75 off at Nashville Armory, the Beanbag Coffee and Tea Shop, and Seafood Sensation. And you can get get $50 free with a $100 purchase in downtown dollars. Check out all of Nashville's best deals now at thegamenashville.com/deals. There you go. That was Vrabel talking about Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase. Now, they're good. Chris Sanders says they're going to blow them out. Chris Sanders says the Titans are going to blow out Cincinnati. How mad? So, like, Vrabel and Chris go back to, like, borderline high school, right?
Yeah.
I want to say, like, maybe Chris was, like, a year or two older than him at Ohio State. Like, they play on the same Ohio State team. They were on the same team. Eddie George, Kirk Herbstreit, Luke Fickell. I mean, like, that was a
star-studded.
Joey Galloway.
Wow.
Like, that was, like, a pretty loaded Ohio State team. So they go back, like, let's say the Titans lose, and after the game's over, and the Bengals are talkers outside of Burrow. Like, they are trash talkers. And let's say after the game, they're like, yeah, we heard that old former receiver came out and said that they were going to goose egg us. Well, goose egg that, or whatever, you know, talking about Chris.
Right.
How mad should Vrabel be at Chris?
Well, Vrabel should be mad at Chris, yes, but also...
Zero!
Like,
get your boys ready to play.
That's what I was going to say. Like, should it be mad at him? Like, whatever. But if the Titans lose on Saturday, it's not because Chris Sanders made a comment about the Bengals. The Bengals. It's because the Titans didn't show up ready to play, or they turned the ball over, or they couldn't get to the quarterback. Whatever reason you want to list. It's not because Chris Sanders thinks that they're going to goose egg him.
I don't know, man. I don't know.
Chris Sanders did not work some voodoo magic on the show, and all of a sudden the Bengals can't play football.
Okay, scale of 1 to 10, let's say Pittsburgh's a 2, with how worried you would have been of the Steelers if they had won that game. What's your worry level of Cincinnati?
I would say like a 5.
I would say 6.
Yeah, they're doubly as intimidating as the Steelers. I mean, that's a young team, that's a really good quarterback, but I mean, at the end of the day, their offensive line isn't very good, but they're, you know, like, they're not Buffalo.
What would Kansas City and Buffalo be?
Buffalo for me would be like a 9, and I think Kansas City would be like a 7.5.
So I was gonna say Kansas City 8, Buffalo 9.
Yeah.
Let's go to your phone. 615-737-1025. Phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Robert is gonna kick us off this hour. Thank you for calling. Go ahead, Robert.
Hey, what a great time of year. This is fun coming up, isn't it?
It is exciting. What's up?
Chris could be right. The matchup is there for him. Could be a very long day for Cincinnati. However, look at tendencies. The Titans have driven us nuts all year long, losing games that they should have won, correct?
Sure.
Yeah. Last game they played was against the Texans. First half went their way. Got an incredibly bad call, which goes back to an earlier segment that you were talking about.
Sure. Robert, I think I get your point, which is you're worried about the Titans getting too cocky, right?
No, just traditionally, look what happened. They fell apart. They looked awful second half of the game.
So I thought about this today. Thank you for your call, Robert. The games the Titans haven't shown up for were all against bad teams. They have not shown up for a good game against a decent team except for Arizona the first week of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, the games where they just like fell apart, just straight up crapped their pants, just didn't show up. And that includes like the Saints where they won, or the Colts, like the third Colts game, where they won those games, but they just dumped all over their pants. But never against like a good team did they dump in their pants this year. Even New England, when New England was good and they went on the road to New England and they had A.J. Brown and Julio Jones and Derrick Henry, they went in there with no players. It was all Hilliard and Foreman, and they lost that game. But like they played like a smart game that they were prepared to play.
And they were in it. It's not like they went up right. big and at the half they just decided to kick their feet up like they did against the most recent Texans game. Like
yeah,
they were
no.
in that game.
No, like they smoked a blunt before they played the Texans and they smoked one at halftime of the second.
And
Texas
it was just
game.
A little bit too much.
It was just too much. They were out there.
They were
like,
snacking in the third
they
quarter.
They were like, yo, you want to go cover Danny Amendola?
No, I don't feel like it.
You got it, man. Believe in you, man. Corey. I can't believe I just said that. Corey's up next. Go ahead, Corey.
Hey, Jared. So I guess what I like to say is I disagree with Sanders just for the simple fact that Burrow's already been in the league this, year and a half. And, you know, last year teams were pretty much about the same as far as, you know, people-wise. But, you know, Cincinnati beat them last year 31-20. And I understand it was in Cincinnati. But your talent level is still there, maybe a little bit more for Cincinnati. So that's just my thoughts.
So the Titans lost that game. Thank you for your call. The Titans lost that game. I did this like, maybe like 4 months ago. I was looking through my phone. Yeah, Instagram has this like weird feature where every story you take like still exists, even though
yeah,
like,
your archive.
And there was one. I was just looking at like old stories of like me and Floyd. And there was one where I had previewed the show for 2:00. It was a Reaction Monday. And it was after they lost to the Bengals. Because that game was freaking embarrassing. I call it the Vic Beasley game. Like, Vic Beasley played like 4 snaps. He was offsides for 2 of them. They cut him the next day. So I like wrote down a list of like who was trash, who wasn't trash, and whatever. And I mean, it was like everybody played poorly in that game. And if the officials had made... Like, they made a phantom voodoo Jerome Boger-level call on a Jayon Brown interception that took it off the board, and it totally would have made it a ball game. All I remember about that game is the Titans got no pass rush. Joe tore them apart. They took a Jayon Brown interception off the board. Tannehill got intercepted in the red zone by Jesse Bates, which better not happen this week. And Arthur called a terrible game because the Titans could literally have run at will on Cincinnati, and they didn't do it. Which is crazy, right? Like, every play, there was a drive to start the second half where they just gave it to Derek every play, and Derek got, like, 13 yards, 8 yards, 6 yards. They had to take him out, bring in Foreman for a couple of plays, and then they brought Derek back in, and they scored, and then they kept trying to throw the ball. And I was like, what are you doing? And then I think they cut Foreman, like, a week later. So I'm trying to find this list, but it was literally, like, trash, not trash, and indifferent. And, like, officials were trash that day. It was just, oh, goodness, it was bad. Let me see. Monday the 2nd. Let's see. Da, 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 da. Oh, I guess this is a video. Oh, I don't know. I guess I tried. Oh, here you go. Here you go. Not trash. Derrick Henry, Corey Davis, and uniforms. Trash. Defense, coaching, special teams, Ryan Tannehill, Clowney / Beasley, Scott Novak's crew, Jonathan Joseph. Oh, that was the Jonathan Joseph game. Oh, God, poor guy. They brought him in there to be the fourth corner, Vrabel's buddy from Houston, and he just got
stunk up the place.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, it was bad. Let's get back to your phones next. 615-737-1025. Again, Chris Sanders says they're going to blow him out. What do we think of Cincinnati? I see your phones. We're right to him next here on Stillman and Company. Got my mixed buried focus right here. I actually knocked down a focus this morning because I've been all over the place. I was thinking about the show last night and was working on it last night, working on it this morning. Had a lot to get done today, so I knocked down a focus. Natural tea caffeine, that natural energy. You can call it sparkling water, or you can call it a naturally energizing, brain-focusing, taste-analyzing hydrator that combines simple ingredients to create the perfect guilt-free pick-me-up your body will crave to feel its best. Find out more at drinkfocus.com. You can also pick up Focus at your local Publix. So roll into a Publix, say, hey, I don't want to try these energy drinks with the crash, like coffee, or these energy drinks with all this sugar and calories. Screw that. No, get a Focus and get that natural tea caffeine. Again, give it a try. And if you use promo code GAME, G-A-M-E, at checkout, you'll get 15% off your entire order for your first order. That's Focus. Drink Focus, P-H-O-C-U-S, drinkfocus.com. I think we'll blow them out, Chris Sanders says. Blow them out.
Goose egg.
I don't even know what, like, the popular sports talk radio station in Cincinnati is. I know the Reds games are on 700 WLW, but mm-hmm. I think that's a news talk station. I need to see what they're saying in Cincinnati. Like, Mo Egger and those guys, see what they're saying in Cincinnati about.
Well, I'm on it this week.
You are in charge of Cincinnati.
I will report back.
I do
Your
wonder.
Official Cincinnati correspondent.
If they can find, like, Chris Sanders just drilling the Bengals. Which, let me state for the record, TD, if you can get this, Elijah, TD had a take. You know, to follow up to Chris's take, where TD was talking about, you know, the Titans and the Bengals and everything else. And this is what TD said on that preview show where Chris just threw him under the bus. A slightly more measured take from TD. Here's what he said.
This is the thing that intrigues me about the Bengals. They have the fifth overall run defense.
Mm-hmm.
The Titans want to run the football. They're not going to jerk the wheel, right? Isn't that what – that's what yeah. Todd Downing said.
Right.
I'm not going to jerk the wheel on the offense. And you rest assured they're definitely not going to do it
right.
with the tractor coming back.
The
so I want to see how that one matches up. But I do like the way the Titans' defense matches up against the Bengals.
So he basically is a little bit more measured than – they're going to smoke them like Chris Sanders had, but – I promised phones, so phones we go. 615-737-1025. Shaq has been waiting patiently and is up next. Thank you for calling. Go ahead, Shaq.
How you doing, Jared? This is my first time calling in.
Cool.
Man, I just wanted to call in and say, I really do not think what Chris Sanders said was a smart thing to say, dealing with what the Titans have been through over the last couple of years and how they do play when they do get in the playoffs. Even though we did have that spectacular run couple of years ago and made it to the AFC Championship game against the Chiefs and fell short, I still do believe that they have to prove themselves. Now, with Derrick Henry coming back this week and with Julio and A.J. Brown getting on page, the same page as Ryan Tannehill, I think we can put up a lot of points on Saturday because this is going to be a big home game and a lot of people are going to come out. Cincinnati is going to travel well too. So we do have to keep that in mind. But I don't think that we will lay a goose egg on these guys. I think they will come in. They will be ready to play. Ja'Marr Chase and Joe Burrow is a dynamic duo that we will have to face for years to come. So with him saying that it's going to be a goose egg, it's going to be easy, I think he will want to keep his mouth closed. It's too soon to talk. Until we get that Super Bowl title up on our belts, then we can be cocky. Go Titans, and let's get the King rolling Saturday.
Thank you for your call, Shaq. I'm sure there is a part of the fan base that's like, why would Chris Sanders say that? You're going to jinx it, Chris Sanders. How dare you? That like the more so like the fear of jinxing it more than the idea of the Bengals getting their hands on what Chris Sanders said and then it being like motivating fuel. I care more about the motivating fuel thing, and I don't really care that much. If they do it, they do it. If they don't do it, you know, then they missed maybe an opportunity. But I'm more concerned about that than I am about, like, oh, Chris, too cocky, jinxing it. I do believe Vrabel will have the team ready to play. Maybe it's a bad assumption. Maybe they'll come out there and Chester Rogers will do something stupid returning a punt like he's done way too many times this season. And all of a sudden, Cincinnati will get the ball at the Tennessee 8-yard line. It'll be 14-0 before you know it, which I pray to God doesn't happen, but maybe it does. But that's different, you know, than where, like, what he's saying. Basically, what he's saying is Cincinnati, Titans marched right down the field. We can agree. Cincinnati has an average defense, right?
Yes.
And Ogunjobi's out, and Trey Hendrickson's a concussion protocol. He'll probably play, but he might not. And if he doesn't play, that's a
big
deal
news for the Titans.
Because now you're talking about 20 sacks have left the field if those two guys aren't out there. So they've got a good defense. Like, they've got an good. No. They've got, like,
fine.
Like a below-average defense. Well, I expect the Titans to be able to get the football with Derrick Henry, go right down the field and score. You know, the opening scripted drives. And I expect the Titans to be able to score on Cincinnati. The other side of it being like, okay, now Cincinnati gets the ball. And remember when the Titans played Kansas City, Titans move right down the field, score a touchdown, 7-0 Titans. Now here comes Kansas City. They get a first down. Then now they're around midfield. Bud Dupree strip sack. They're punting to the Titans. Now Kansas City's on their heels. I think what Chris is thinking is that in this game, Cincinnati will start off, you know, and the Titans will be able to run the ball and move the ball down the field. Again, their secondary at Cincinnati, and Hendrickson is the big sacker. He's 14 sacks. Ogunjobi, 7 sacks. Now, Sam Hubbard had 7.5, which is tied for second on the team. And the guy who's replacing Ogunjobi, B.J. Hill, had 5.5. So they get some sacks. But I think the way Chris is thinking about it is you're going to run the ball with Derrick Henry, and then you're going to have A.J. Brown against Chidobe Awuzie, who is a starting corner in the league, but probably more like Jack Rabbit than anything else. So he thinks you're going to be able to move on Cincinnati. I would agree. He's thinking now, okay, it's 7-0, Cincinnati gets the ball. Now you sack Joe Burrow, you hit Joe Burrow, you rush Joe Burrow. Interception, Byard, ball goes down to the 8-yard line, 14-0 Titans. Now Joe Mixon running the ball is totally out of the equation. Cincinnati's under pressure, and they've got an offensive line that's allowed the league-high 51 sacks. That, I think, is what he's thinking. And I could see it.
I could see it. I just am not willing to say that that's what I am betting on happening.
Yeah, I mean, I'm
I totally could see it.
I'm not ready to say blowout, but I mean, I think that's what he's thinking. That's why he said it.
And earlier you said, you know, I could see two different ways. It could be a Titans blowout, but I could also see the Bengals potentially coming in here and, you know, getting a win and sneaking away with it in the second half.
I could see the Titans screwing up.
I could see the Titans screwing up too, and that's why I am not ready to say that, oh yeah, it could be a blowout, because I think that it may be not just as likely, but there is still a likelihood that the Titans could turn the ball over and could give this game up and put it in the hands of the Bengals.
You're getting better. You're getting better at it. That, by the way, is a pet peeve of mine. People who say Bengals is Bengals. B-E-N-G-A-L-S. The A is at the end. It's not at the beginning. Bengals, no.
You just said Bengals.
No, I did that as like a, oh. Like, don't say that.
The Bengals.
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 Bing.
Bengals.
Like Bing.
Bengals.
Like Bing.
Cincinnati.
Cincinnati. Bengals.
Bengals.
There you go. Much better. Joe, you know, like for somebody who's not from the South, Joe this morning was just, I mean, it was like bang the drum. You know, it was Bengals, Bengals, Bengals. Oh, God, I'm driving nuts. So last year when the Titans played the Bengals, and I'm sure we'll talk a lot about this at some point during the week, but I remember Tannehill had just a brutally bad interception early. And this was when I liked Tannehill. Like, before I got into, like, holding my rear end every time he dropped back to pass. This is when I had faith in Tannehill as a quarterback. So, by the way, Cincinnati's kicker was Randy Bullock. They go down the field. Randy Bullock good from 33 yards. Titans drive all the way down. So they get the ball at the 31. Tannehill to Jonnu Smith for 10. Derrick Henry, no gain. Tannehill to Kari Blasingame for 5. Tannehill runs it for 15. Henry for 4. Henry, no gain. Tannehill to Davis for 27. The ball is now at the Cincinnati 8. First and goal from the Cincinnati 8, and Tannehill throws an interception in the end zone.
Can't do that.
And I was like,
that's how you lose games. You cannot do that.
And I remember, because it was one of those really risky throws, it was like in between two defenders. And it was like, okay, if you're going to put the ball there, like, you got to get it there. Like, you got to zip it and you got to get it there. But like, why take that risk on first down? It's first and goal from the 8. You have the best running back in the NFL. Like, throw the ball out of the back of the end zone and live to play another day. And I remember being like, what's he doing? Like, this is Ryan Tannehill. He never turns the ball over.
Wow.
What is he doing?
Oh, how the turntables.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. But that was the precursor to you losing. And if he does that this week, then Chris's theory is probably not going to come to fruition.
There was one interesting text that I wanted to get to.
Fire it.
We were talking about, you know, who do Titans fans want to win? Bills or Chiefs? Sure. A texter texts in and asks, who do you think Bills and Chiefs fans want to win the Bengals and Titans game?
Oh, Titans. I mean, no, excuse me. Bengals.
Bengals?
Yeah, they want to host. Cincinnati is not going into Buffalo and winning an AFC championship game at Orchard Park.
If the Bengals come into Nissan Stadium and blow out the Titans, opposite of what Chris Sanders thought.
Do you think there's any chance the Bengals will blow out the Titans?
Have
the Titans
no.
been blown out this year?
No, I don't think that they will. No, I don't.
Like the first game of the year against Arizona,
they got blown out against Arizona. But
other than that, I don't think they've gotten blown out all year.
No.
I mean, they don't get blown out. And it's funny because I was thinking like, okay, well, Cincinnati just beat Kansas City, but that game was in Cincinnati. And I've got friends that are Chief fans, and they just cried and cried and cried about the officiating after the game. And maybe there was some truth there. I don't know. But home field advantage usually gets you the flags.
Mm-hmm.
Or superstar Tom Brady advantage gets you the flags. And Cincinnati has neither in this game. But I was thinking about, okay, Cincinnati just beat Kansas City. So would Kansas City rather play Tennessee than play Kansas City? And I'm like, Kansas City can play an arrowhead where they could look at it and say, hey, we didn't get the flags. We were playing on the road. You know, we will mess this team up. If we got to play them again, we'd mess them up. They also lost to the Titans. Like, they also lost on the road to the Titans in the playoffs. So, you know, I think that they would both root for the Bengals. I think they would want to avoid the Titans.
I would agree.
I think they look at the Titans, and they don't think the Titans are an explosive offensive team, but I think they look at Derrick Henry and the fact that the Titans have beaten these teams, like not just this year, but also beaten them in the past.
And the fact that the Titans would host.
And I think there's probably a part that's like, you know, Henry and Brown and that defense. Like, I think there's something that would bother
the defensive line. Yeah.
What else we got?
One texter texts in and says, what should our expectations be for the wide receivers going into this game, A.J. Brown and Julio Jones?
So I don't care about Julio. Like, that's do Julio on your own time. So, like, their secondary, I was looking it up today. Eli Apple is the corner from Ohio State, was drafted in the first round in 2016, and he's been on, like, six teams.
And he ain't nothing special.
And he is just, I mean, every team that he's been on, people have just complained about him. He's one of those guys.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I feel like they have average corners. You know, two interceptions, one guy, two interceptions, another guy, two interceptions, a third guy. Both safeties have one pick. I mean, like, if Hendrickson,
their corners don't scare you.
If Hendrickson doesn't play, off of what I saw this past weekend, I think he should be able to throw the ball.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't think the Raiders have, you know, I like Renfro and I like Waller, and you certainly don't have a tight end like Waller, but I don't, there's nothing there for me that I just think, oh man, these, tell you what, these guys are just so, Raider passing game is just so electric. I think the question is, can you make them do whatever you want everybody to do, which is, can Derek run the ball well? And then everybody sucks up to try to stop Derek, and then you hit him over the top. But I don't know. Coming up next, Predators. Big game tonight for the Predators. Predators game day before they take on St. Louis. Pregame coverage, by the way, begins at 6:30. So we will do Predators game day next. Stillman & Company right here. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game. Predators game day tonight at the Enterprise Center in St. Louis. The Predators are 24-12-3, good for 51 points. The Blues 22-11-5, good for 49 points. The Predators lost on Saturday in overtime against the Boston Bruins. The puck drop is 7:30 tonight, so our pregame coverage beginning in 35 minutes or so. Predators insiders will follow us coming up next. That'll do it for us. Reaction Monday. We'll see you all tomorrow at 2:00.